We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is this their best song?
I'm a really big fan of Plush. That's my karaoke go-to.
Yeah, yeah. But, Vaseline is one of my real favorites.
Creep is really good.
Yeah, yeah. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chukwa here with you. Part of our music theme, it was Scott Weiland's birthday yesterday, so mixing a little Stone Temple Pilots stuff for you today. Some good 80s pop with Duran Duran as well. So Bo Johnson behind the glass today, keeping us straight and keeping things up online. He does want a good grade, so he'll do whatever he has to do to keep all of that going. So we thank you both.
Your From rant's already posted.
Oh, wow.
Boom. Go check that. Yeah.
Okay.
Real time, right, man. Real time posting.
Yeah. Who's Jake
so
from?
So you can hear it right after you hear it.
Who's from? That's at 929thegame.com. By the way, go to our new and improved website. Hear replays of the show. Hear our favorite moments. Get all your updated sports information there as well. Don't forget to download. It is our radio.com app. You want to download that so if you're on the go, out running around, out and about, then you can have that app on your phone. Listen to us wherever you are. All of our social media, it's at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Check all of that out at 929thegame. Individually, I am at JMCH316 on Twitter if you want to hang out and be part of the program. Also at 404-741-0929 as Mel made sure he graced our airwaves and he's teaching us. It's a teaching moment with them. So World Series, Red Sox take a 3-1 lead in the World Series. And I'll ask Bo this question, too, because I know he's a big Braves guy and he does work down there. He's a big mocker with the Braves and all that kind of stuff. He's high up in the organization, if you will. You know, the joke about the World Series has been that this is the two best teams that money can buy. And there's no question about that. These are two franchises that have massive payrolls and a massive structure with which to go get whatever it is they need. But when you start talking about Cody Bellinger and Yasiel Puig and Clayton Kershaw, you know, those are guys that came up through the Dodgers organization. Those aren't free agent acquisitions. Same thing with the Red Sox when you talk about Benintendi, you talk about Jackie Bradley, you talk about Mookie Betts, right, Devers. Those are guys that are coming up through the Red Sox organization. You know, it's not like they went out and added Miguel Cabrera into the middle of their lineup as a $300 million free agent. Those are guys that are coming up through those systems as the core of those teams. Yes, can those teams add the big pieces when they need to? Absolutely. You can add Chris Sale. You can, you know, but remember, that was a trade. Remember, the Red Sox gave up the number one prospect in baseball to get Chris Sale and what's his name, Yoan Moncada. He was the number one prospect in Major League Baseball that they gave up. So it's not like they didn't, not like just Chris Sale was an arbitrary free agent. They had to give something up to get him in there. And yes, good teams are willing to do that, especially when Betts is probably the MVP of the league and all that good kind of stuff. But I tied into the Braves from this standpoint because I can't stress enough that how important this offseason is. Yeah, were the Braves playing with house money being in the playoffs? Yes. Here's what I don't like, Bo. I didn't like the fact that the first two games of that playoff series, it looked like a Bobby Cox team all over again in the playoffs. Game one and two looked like Bobby was back in the dugout and standing at the top and clapping his hands and saying, come on, Rhino. And that's what it looked like. Now, contrary to what people believe, the Braves do have money. They want to open up the purse strings. The former CEO of Liberty Media is worth $17.2 billion, okay? John, what's his name? I forget what his last name is. McClane or something like that. I don't know what that he was in Die Hard. The Braves have money to spend, and they don't have a lot of committed payroll. Why don't they have a lot of committed payroll? Because all their guys are cheap, because they're all young. Freddie Freeman, relatively, is not an expensive player. Obviously, Albies, Acuna, all those guys. And if you think about it, the Braves don't have very many holes that they need to fill in free agency. I think we know who our catchers are. And I really believe that Camargo will be the starting third baseman, and they'll give Austin Riley more time down in the minors to figure more things out. Austin Riley had a nice run through the AA and AAA farm system. Had his struggles, strikes out a lot, needs to improve his defense. That's fine. But you can give him more time because Camargo had a terrific year. And I think Dansby will be the starter again at shortstop. He's gold glove level defense there, and he gives you enough. You know, he can be a dozen homers, 65 RBIs. He gives you enough out there. So outside of right field and your bullpen, you don't have a lot. I don't think the Braves should go out and get themselves a high-priced starting pitcher because you can't have it both ways. Because you can't tell me that you built your organization on pitching and that's everything you invested all of your draft picks and everything into, then tell me you don't have any starters. Can't have it both ways. Can't tell me you need to go spend money on a starter and you spent all of your resources to put your pitching together and then wasn't willing to trade those pieces when it was time to go get a guy. So you can't have it both ways. You can't talk out both sides of your mouth. Don't tell me that we need a starting pitcher, but yet you rode with the guys that you had, you wouldn't trade anybody, and your entire rebuild is built around pitching. Your rebuild wasn't built around Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna. The reason you were the number one draft or number one group was because of the depth of your pitching staff through all levels and organizations. This is where the Braves have to make their run. And I'm going to tie it into a football scenario, and I'm going to use Bo's team, the New Orleans Saints, that ties into it. I screamed all offseason in the NFL that, and there were some people that agreed, and some people thought I was completely crazy when I said this. The Jacksonville Jaguars, in the offseason, should have held a press conference with their owner, Shad Khan, and whoever their general manager is, and stood up in front of a podium and invited every national media person in the world and say, we are going to offer Drew Brees 2 years at $84 million guaranteed. 2 years, $84 million guaranteed money to come win us the Super Bowl. And said that publicly, put a piece of paper out there, have a burlap sack with a dollar symbol on it, have a money in the bank briefcase. Okay? They should have had all of that. To the point where if Drew Brees didn't come and play for Jacksonville, that he would have had a press conference in New Orleans to stand up in front of the media and say, I turned down $84 million from the Jacksonville Jaguars to come back here and play. Why? Because the Jacksonville Jaguars were ready to win a Super Bowl. When you have a roster that is ready to win now, you have to cash in the money in the bank suitcase, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you, and you may disagree, Bo, the Braves are ready to win the World Series now. They are ready now to win the World Series. I don't want to hear about rebuilds. I don't want to hear about a year ahead. You're a 90-win team in a not-so-good division with the best player in that division about ready to leave. Well, maybe first or second best. DeGrom may be the best player, but Bryce Harper is arguably the best position player in that division ready to leave the organization. You have to capitalize. And I don't want to hear about money. I don't want to hear about not going for it because I will tell you, the Braves next year, I expect playoffs next year. I expect division title. And then it is World Series or bust. You don't get any more grace from me out of the Braves. That fair? Unfair, Bo?
I think it's fair to expect that. Now, if they fall a little bit short, I don't know that we can, you know, sell off the team and or say that they've failed. You know, I think that we are that bat away from being exactly where we are, that player away.
Mm-hmm.
And now and that's when you strike, when you are that player away. Mm-hmm. Our pitching staff is good enough, and they're going to be one more year experience
right
by the beginning of the 2019 season. We made it through this season and won the division with those guys. Now you're going to have a more experienced right group. So, heck yeah. I mean, I agree. They should not have to go after any pitching. Maybe some mid-relief, but we've got that in the minors too.
Well, I mean, you know who I want.
Up at the big league level as well. So
yeah, but you know who I want? I want 40. I want number 40. That guy that's up in Boston closing out games for the World Series champion. That's the guy I want down here. I want to bring him back home and put him back in a Braves uniform and bring him in. Oh, yeah, you can't. And people rag about it. Why? What would be wrong with bringing Craig Kimbrell back when I'm ready to win a World Series now? Like, I don't care what Craig Kimbrell is in 4 years. I really don't. And if that means I gave him 4 years at $15 million and he wins me a World Series, I don't care. I mean, you have to strike while the iron is hot, and you have to have the forethought to say, wow, this group is ready. I got Freddie Freeman in his prime. Ronald Acuna is only getting better. Ozzie had a breakthrough year. I got a breakthrough year out of Camargo. I'll figure out catcher in a year. I can get by with Suzuki and Flowers for one more year. As clutch as Kurt Suzuki's been for me the last 2 years, I'll get by with those guys. I'll take Ender Inciarte. Fine, I get a Gold Glove center fielder who can steal me some bases and score me some runs. I have things pretty well figured out. I just need one more bopper that can really produce some runs in the middle of that lineup and let me close out games without having to sweat my brow every time. Or make it easier on my manager to know, okay, Viscaiano and Minter, that can be your 7-8 guys, and your lefty-righty, and then hammer in to end it, and I get 46 saves out of Kimbrel. That's it. And go win. Ask Jacksonville what happens. Look at where Jacksonville is right now. And the problem is, Bo, it's so 2018 to say this. When adversity strikes and things don't go well for young guys, that ship can fall very quickly. You know what I mean? The toughness and the resiliency isn't always there in young guys. Jacksonville's going through that right now. Jacksonville's going through, because my quarterback is so bad and can't win me games and lead that team, everything's going sideways. And Jalen Ramsey, and this, everything's going sideways. And it starts to fall. And that can happen when you build your core around a lot of young guys. Now, the Braves do have Freddie Freeman, okay? But see, I'm not in favor of bringing Nick Markakis back. Why? You got the best year ever out of Nick Markakis at 30-something years old. It's time to go get that dude. You know what I said about Kimbrel, Bo? Bryce Harper. You know, I want Bryce Harper badly.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, I want Bryce Harper on opening day to take the lineup card out the home plate with eye black 7 feet down, okay? And he hands the umpire the lineup card, goes to shake Gabe Kapler's hand, and when he goes to reach to shake Harper's hand, kick to the stomach, stunner on home plate. You understand? I want to be the bad guy.
And
I
the crowd be the, goes
yeah,
wild.
I want to be the guy everybody's chasing. Everybody's coming after us. You don't want to like me because I got Bryce Harper? Thank you. I revel in all that. Revel in all that. But take one look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are a Super Bowl ready team. Super Bowl ready. They just needed a quarterback. They needed that guy. That guy is what they needed. And they said, you know what? We think we can get by with this. I hope the Braves don't have that same mantra of, well, we can maybe get one more year of Markakis and we can maybe get through all this.
And I think that Harper and Kimbrel is a lot more realistic than people are talking about going out
Absolutely.
And getting Harper and Kershaw. Like, we don't need to do all that. What, you don't want 20 a 20 win or a 20
right.
start pitcher on your staff.
I'm supposed to have a Clayton Kershaw somewhere in my organization, Bo. I mean, how many more pitchers can I draft and build around? All I need is one guy to step up. One guy. I don't care if it's Folty, Soroka, one guy. That's it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Trae Young a little bit. What should be the minimum expectation for Trae Young this year? I'm going to throw something out, and we'll see if you guys agree on it. We'll be back. It's the Georgia Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Chuck. We're on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
There were a lot of wide open shots that we weren't hitting tonight, but also as well, we were taking some bad shots, so we got to continue to tighten it up.
It's Atlanta Hawks rookie Trae Young bringing us back in. We are your flagship home for all things Atlanta Hawks right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They're back in action on Monday in Philadelphia. Pregame at 6:30, tip-off at 7 o'clock. Steve Holman, 2,500 games in or whatever like that, something like that, yeah, on the call. Yeah, I remember when Neil Bortz used to call him Tweety Bird. That was his nickname for him when he was over at WSB when they had the Hawks and everything. So, John Chuck, we're back in the Key Studios with you here on Sports Radio 99 The Game till 1 o'clock. 404-741-0929. It's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We said last night, Hawks did lose to the Bulls, 97-85. Was not a good night for Trae Young. 3-for-12, 0-for-6 from 3, 13 points, 4 assists. Of course, the other night, big comeback win by the Hawks. You know, we were all there. It was our station anniversary party on Wednesday. It just kind of coincided with the home opener for the Atlanta Hawks. So always good fellowship. Most everybody was there. Bo decided not to show up. He doesn't like any of us. So
hold up, bro. I was there, man.
Oh, were you there?
Yeah.
Did you come say hi to us?
I worked there.
Oh, that's right.
I was in the courtside, Chloe. Yeah. Where were you?
Oh, no. We were up there in the social whatever.
Carl club. Dukes made his way down there.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, he's a big maca. Yeah. No, we were hanging out with all the proletariats, all the working class, all the bourgeois.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on social media. It looked like a big old family picnic, man.
Yeah, it was. It was good. That's a really nice area up there.
It
that
is.
Social
club. The whole arena you really don't recognize as being the same place as it was last year.
Yeah, and I think one of those cabanas, because they're cabanas now, I think it's they're not suites, they're cabanas, I think is what it is now. So we have one of those, I think, for the station. It was a really good time, good fellowship, food and drink, and chance to see all the people you don't normally see, and I cleaned off Terry's shoes for him and everything, so swept up the floor around where he was and everything, so that was good. So the question I ask is, because you're going to go through the ups and downs of Trae Young, and obviously this rebuild and where this franchise moves forward to, like it or not, is going to be a lot based on the success of what Trae Young gives you. And while I understand, Collins is not back yet. Torian Prince has played pretty well for this team. There are other pieces that you're hoping evolve into something. But at the same time, you have to understand that you drafted Trae Young. You traded for Trae. Yeah, I shouldn't say you drafted. You traded for the rights to Trae Young. You did that with the sole intention of he's supposed to be the building block piece that you build around. He's supposed to be that number one, that lead dog guy, whether he's Steph Curry or whatever that is. So what I ask is the minimum expectation of a guy like Trae Young. Like, should he lead the Hawks in scoring this year? For the guy who led the nation in college basketball at Oklahoma, by the way. He didn't do it at Bradley. He didn't do it at, it was another low level. He didn't do it at Butler, okay? He didn't do it at Seton Hall. No, he did it at Oklahoma in the Big 12 with Kansas and Texas and everybody. And he led the nation in scoring and assists. Should the minimum expectation be that Trae Young at least leads this team in scoring? Now, only 5 games, so your sample size is next to nothing. But right now, Trae Young averaging, 15.1 points per game so far this season. And does lead the team in assists at 6.8 assists. He's about 4th, 5th right now on the team in scoring. He does lead the team right now in minutes played per game. He is averaging more minutes at 32 minutes per game more than anybody that's out there. So he's certainly going to get plenty of playing time, no question about it. And actually, let me point that back. Averaging 19.8 points per game. Sorry. That was an updated from, I think, the other day. 19.8 points per game. I think the expectation should at least be for Trae Young that he leads this team for this year in scoring and assists. Or he's at least number 2, and he's going to lead this team in assists because he's the guy distributing the basketball. That should be a no-brainer out there. I don't need him to average 30. I'm not expecting him to get 25. He doesn't have to put up some kind of gaudy number. But on this team, as much minutes as he's going to play and as much opportunity he's going to get and as much as he'll go get his shot and take his shot and supposedly, obviously, the big-time range that he has, then I think him leading this team and scoring is a very realistic expectation. I think that's a very realistic thing for him to lead this team in scoring this year, or at least be maybe second at worst. Now you can gauge that for what it is, and Because you're not translating anything with the Hawks into wins right now. I think the over-under, I think, was 23 or 24 and a half, something like that. I took the under. I don't think that they are – I don't think they're more than maybe a 20-win team. I think if you get 20 wins out of the Hawks, that's about it. So, obviously, what they do this year is not going to be predicated about wins. It's going to be about who starts to step up. And I like Herter, and Spellman's been okay. Bazemore's playing better this year. Torian Prince, obviously, kind of looks like he's taking a little bit of a step forward. Collins, obviously, not had a chance to play yet, so you're hoping he takes kind of a step forward. But I think if Trae Young is only about fifth or sixth on this team in scoring, I think that is a disappointment. I think that is a disappointment when you talk about his minutes and talk about how much the ball is going to be in his hands. Now, if you told me that he was only going to average 15 points and he'd be fifth or sixth on this team in scoring, but he had 13, 14 assists tonight, that might be one thing. If he was putting up gaudy assist numbers, you know, he was double digits and higher. He was 11, 12, 13 assists a night, and he's leading the league in assists. Okay, I could understand why maybe his scoring average maybe isn't quite the same. But, you know, 6.8 assists per game is good, but that's not league leader type of numbers. That's not Magic and Stockton and Mark Jackson type of numbers out there. I mean, that's about half of what those guys would put you up in the course of a season. So it's one thing to be 15 points, 12 assists. Another thing to be 15 points and under 7 assists on the season. So I think that at least from that standpoint of a measuring stick about, and you're going to get some nights where Trey's had a 35-point game, 35 and 11, right? Steph Curry only had two of those in his rookie year, and he's already had one in that compare. And I'm not even talking about he needs to be Steph Curry, but he's giving you a 20-point night, a 35-point night, a 17-point night. And while, yes, the ball's going to be in his hand, and I expect him to make some assists, you got him for his range and for his scoring. Steph Curry is fine at giving you 7 assists a night because he also gives you 26 and a half a night. You know what I mean? Like it's the numbers kind of balance themselves out when you're talking about that level of player. You know, Steph Curry can be their quote unquote point guard with only 6.5 assists or 7 assists, but he gets 26, 27 a night. Or in his best years, he gets you 30, 31 a night, and he puts daggers in your heart in the playoffs with the type of shots that he nails, you know, being as clutch as what he is. You don't need the gaudy assist numbers. You don't need the double-double out of him for all of that. But Trae Young is a guy that I think you want to at least see him be this team's leading scorer this year. He should be one of their top 3-point shooters. He's obviously going to take a heavy amount of the threes. I didn't look to see if he leads the team right now in 3-point shots, but he's obviously going to take a heavy amount of the 3-point shots for this team. And like I said, with the amount of minutes, he's averaging more minutes than anybody that's out there, 32 minutes a night, the opportunities will be there. And I'm okay with the ebbs and the flows of you take last night a 3 for 12 and 0 for 6 from 3-point, you know, and that comes off of 3 for 12 against Dallas, 1 for 3. You're going to have some of that. But see, against Cleveland, 13 for 23, 6 for 14. You're going to have those bad nights mixed in with the good, but at the end of the year, when it all kind of balances itself out, what do you have out of it? I don't think that if Trae Young is 12 or 14 points per game and like I said, fourth or fifth on this team, that's a successful rookie season. And I'm not comparing him to any other rookie. I don't care about Doncic or any of these other guys that you compare him to. That trade is done and in the books. Those guys aren't Atlanta Hawks. It doesn't matter. It's different scenarios, different opportunities. It's different everything. Doesn't mean that Doncic is better or he's worse or whatever like that. You know, Doncic's also a guy that's played years in a professional league. You know, he's an NBA rookie. I get that. But he's also a guy who's played in professional leagues in Europe. He's been in that kind of environment. He's not playing against all the ham and eggers, and he's not playing against Baylor, and he's not playing against, you know, Bethune-Cookman and you know, Cornell and Princeton. He's not playing against that kind of guy. He's playing against much better players in a pay-for type of league. He's more of just an NBA rookie. So I'm not going to compare him to what he is versus other rookies. I only care about what he does on this franchise. And I think at the end of the day, what Trae Young needs to be is the guy who leads this team in scoring and assists as well. And if he isn't the leading scorer, second in scoring, but putting up a high number of assists. Like I said, if you're going to tell me he's going to be fourth or fifth on this team in scoring, there better be 11 or 12 assists a night that come along with it. I don't know if he's that kind of guy in the NBA. I don't know if he's got that kind of ability to put you. Maybe he develops into somebody like that. You know, Stockton was a guy who wasn't going to get 20 and 15 every night. You know, Stockton to get you 15, 16. But if he's handing out 13, 14 assists, and they didn't have to have him be that alpha guy because Karl Malone would put up 25 to 28 a night out there. But on this team, forget wins, forget comparing him to rate him on what he is within this organization and what he's supposed to be, because like it or not, he is supposed to be the building block. You didn't just draft him, or I should say, I keep saying draft, but I mean you just didn't trade for his rights and move down with the idea of getting a pretty good player. You're drafting the person who's supposed to be that first guy. Not the only guy, not the guy who by himself can win anything, but he's got to be that first guy. He's got to be that first guy with him. So and we'll see. Hawks again Monday night in Philadelphia, 6:30 pregame, tip off at 7 o'clock. But ride the ebbs and flows and the waves that Trae Young gives you for this year. Don't get too high on the highs. Don't get too low on the lows. 13 for 23, going for 35 and 11 is tremendous. That doesn't mean he's Steph Curry, but it also doesn't mean he's a bust because he goes 3 for 12 and 0 for 6. I mean, he's 6 for 24 in his last two games, 1 for 9 from 3 in his last two games. That's rookies in the NBA. Well, it gets to be about April, and you're in game, or March, and you're in game 72, 71, game 71, game 72. You're going to have some guys hit some walls at that point. But at least he's going to get plenty of playing time, 32 minutes a night. That's a pretty good number right now for a rookie like that. And you see he's gotten pulled at times, and that's what they had Jeremy Lin here for as well. All right, speaking of the NBA, it's going to be time for What's Bugging Chuckery next. And I got to give kudos and props because I love this, what happened over the last few days, and it includes an NBA team. We're going to discuss all that next. We'll be back. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 929 The Game. This your song right here?
Yeah, it's one of them. This and Plush, that whole album. Core, one of the best albums ever released.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen these guys live with everybody.
Oh, what's up, Superfan? I've seen them twice.
Have you?
Or I saw them, yeah. I haven't seen the new STP. I'm not a fan of going to the new STP.
No, I wouldn't think. No. If Scott Weiland ain't going to be there. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be tough for him to make a comeback at this point. So.
But at this point, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say, like if you go to a show like that, do you get high just from the contact of being around those guys?
Oh, yeah. I went to the Voodoo Music Festival in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
And on the same stage, it went Eminem first, and they took a break, and then STP. So,
wow.
Yeah, there was lots of stuff in the air on that day.
Whew. Man. I'm surprised you didn't spontaneously combust Alpha, something like that. So, 404-741-0929 is the phone line. It's also our Solomon Bros. Diamond text line. By the way, too, I don't think that Jarrett mentioned this in his sports flash, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have fired Tyronn Lue. He has officially been relieved of his coaching. They're a bad basketball team. They are a bad, bad basketball team right now. And they're not going to be good anytime soon out of all of it. But, the Tyronn Lue experiment with LeBron and all that, obviously LeBron has come to an end. And so now it's time to move on from the head coach. So I didn't see who they're going to put as the interim coach. I'm sure it's one of the bench guys in there, but I can't tell you that I honestly keep up with NBA bench coaches to tell you or who may get that job. I could really care less because they're not going to be good anytime. Not going to be good anytime soon out there. So, all right, it's that time of the show. Let's get to it. We call it What's Bugging Chuckery. So we have to take you back to a moment in time. If you remember last year, it was the NBA All-Star Game. No, was it Game 1 of the NBA Finals?
That was the All-Star Game.
Was it the All-Star Game where she did it? Yeah, the All-Star Game. You remember Fergie singing the national anthem and how bad that whole thing was? Remember all the backlash about all that? Okay. Well, the guy who is her ex-husband, the guy that was in those Transformer movies, is it Josh Duhamel? I think it's how you pronounce his name. So he had a sit-down with this girl that used to be on with Colin Cowherd, Christine Leahy. She's done a bunch of stuff. She does the American Ninja stuff. She has a new show. I forget. I should have looked up what the show is or whatever like that. But it's some kind of sit-down interview program now that she does as her new show. She had Josh Duhamel on, and one of the things that she asked him about was the Fergie National Anthem incident. And if you remember, Draymond Green was caught during that with this grin on his face and that befuddled look because that's the way we were all feeling. And it became a gif and all that kind of stuff. So this is Josh Duhamel's response to Christine Leahy asking about what he thought about the comments about her.
I was pissed off at Draymond Green, first of all. I think he owed her an apology. I thought he was kind of a... Just because he knew the camera was on him and he snickered about it. I just thought that if he would have been a real man, he would have at least called her and said, listen, I'm sorry that I caused all this.
Oh, so he never reached out?
No, of course he didn't.
Did you? Did you try to get that message to him?
No.
Okay. Well, maybe he's watching now and he can apologize to her.
I mean, that's what a real man would have done, in my opinion.
That's Josh Duhamel. He was on It's Fair Game is the name of Christine Leahy's new show, which enjoy it now because it won't be around in 6 weeks. Whatever. Yeah. I'll save all those comments. But anyway... And I heard that and I was like, look, Josh, I hate to tell you, partner, nobody in America was on Fergie's side. God bless Fergie, entertaining girl, you know, her and the Black Eyed Peas, that's good stuff and all that kind of stuff. You can't deny fact. And the fact was, it was a horrible rendition. But this is what made my heart fill with joy. Okay? See, this goes to my level of pettiness, my level of what I enjoy and how I react to people. Did Draymond Green come out and apologize? Nope. Did the Golden State Warriors or anybody as an organization come out and apologize? Nope. What did the Golden State Warriors do? The very next night, after they play a game where Boogie got thrown out of a game, they had to make a big comeback, Durant puts up 26 in the fourth quarter. All these big storylines of the game. What are the Warriors doing afterward? And you got to go online and see the video of the Golden State Warriors in their locker room decided, let's do a video and dance and celebrate to a remix of Fergie's song.
Star
This is so great.
Let's play some basketball.
Now you can hear the players in the background because they start dancing, and Steph Curry and all of them. Bo's watching the video right now. It's got the players and everybody involved in it. It is so great. God bless you to the Golden State Warriors. I'm a bigger fan now for it. Screw apologizing. Screw saying you're sorry. Why? It was terrible. Call it what it is. He smirked and he laughed. It's because it was so bad. It was disturbingly bad. And instead of caving in like we do in 22, oh, hell, her feelings and emotions, it can't be that way. You know, life isn't always fair and easy. Suck it up, buttercup. Sometimes you step in it. I'll bet you one thing. I bet you Fergie didn't hand the check back for that performance, did she? Want to bet she didn't make a reverse deposit to whatever bank account that came from? Think she kept the money? Because I promise you, she didn't come do that out of the goodness of her heart. And sometimes, you know what? In life, you step in crap. But rather than get all sensitive and emotional about it, you step in crap, you know what you do? Wash your shoe off or go get a new pair of shoes and keep on walking. I am so thankful the Golden State Warriors didn't cave in the year 2018 and said, you know what? Let's have even more fun. I encourage you to go online to the video. I didn't even know there was a remix of this song. I'm assuming somebody else put all of that together and they got a hold of it. And it's Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors dancing in the locker room to Fergie's remake. This is after a night. Bo, in that game, Boogie got thrown out of the game for flagrant fouls. Durant went for like 26 in the fourth. Got all these storylines that you can get into, and it was kind of an emotional win, comeback win and all that. Nope. You know what we're going to do? Boogie down to Fergie's remix of the national anthem. That is so great. That is so unlike 2018. I can't believe they did that. So good. And if Josh Duhamel has got his Pampers in a while, fine. I encourage you to go to the Golden State Warriors locker room, okay? Because I got two words for Josh Duhamel. Suck it. And I'll give you the chop right there, baby. And if he's got a problem, you know. Did you notice, by the way, too? Well, did you reach out to Draymond Green? Oh, no, no. Okay, why not? If it bothered you that bad and he's not a man and all that kind of stuff, then say something, Chachi. Hey, Scooter, you're a celebrity. You got money. Reach out to him. I promise you, you could have a conversation with Draymond Green if you wanted to. Okay? You guys can talk about the Transformers and all the movies you've been in and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. You can talk about all that kind of being married to Fergie and all that kind of stuff. Maybe he wants to be in the Black Eyed Peas. I don't know. I mean, you can figure all that kind of stuff out on there. So good for the Golden State Warriors. There's a happy ending to a story in 2018. That is so great. Did you not love that video? Is that not great, Bo, or what?
No, you're doing yourself an injustice if you do not go back and just watch the players. Because Steph's sitting on his locker room dancing, and they're doing the Fortnite dance. And it's fantastic.
Yep, it is. Great. It's everything you want as a response. They didn't say anything about Josh Duhamel. They didn't say anything. They just put this video up, and Bo kind of you kind of got into it. You know, it kind of slow builds into the song, and then it's let's play some basketball, and then boom, boom. You know, what I mean, then it gets into it, a remix of Fergie doing the national anthem. Oh, so good. Thank you, 2018, for that moment. We need more moments like that.
Oh, how can you say that?
Okay. Hey, one coach is saying that in college football, saying that his players quit on him yesterday. I'm not even sure if I can blame him at this point. I'll give you that story next. Sports Radio 92 in the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.